Welcome to the Weight Loss for Women podcast, where we teach you how to break free from restrictive diets, restore your metabolism, and build a body you love so you can look and feel your best as you age. All right, let's dive into this episode.
I'm Kitty Bloomfield, co-founder of New Strength and Saturay, creator of pro-metabolic food supplements and seriously saturated skincare. And today I have a good friend of our good friend, Kate Deerings, on the podcast, Michael Risk. Welcome, Michael. He's also in the States, apparently about 300,000 miles away from Kate, because I have no idea about the US and where things are. So thanks so much for coming on.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah.
Part of the conversation.
Yeah, me too. And look, I'll let Michael talk a bit more about what he does specifically, but I thought this podcast would be really helpful, not only for myself, but just for our women in general. And Michael's going to talk a bit more about, you know, why you might keep self-sabotaging, why are you your biggest self-critic, and why you keep doing things that potentially you don't want to be bloody doing. So, you know, I'm sure so many women will listen to this and think, oh my God, that's totally me. You know, like you might start this new nutrition and training program and for whatever reason you keep, you know, drinking alcohol every weekend, or you keep not prepping your food, or you keep not prioritizing yourself, or you keep criticizing yourself, and, you know, just how you can understand why you're doing those things and then change those behaviors so you actually can reach your goals. So I think everyone will relate to this. So maybe Michael, just tell, because you've never been on the podcast before, so just tell the listeners a bit more about who you are and what you do, and then we can get into it.
That sounds great. So my name's Michael Risk. I got started serving the health, fitness, wellness industry in 2000, initially as a personal trainer. I then became a massage therapist, and I had these wonderful skills that I did not know how to integrate. But I had a mentor who was kind of inspiring to me, and he kind of kept giving me like little bits along the way to say, okay, do this step next, do this step next. And now he actually is the soft tissue therapist for the Los Angeles Clippers. And so I had these two skills. I didn't know how to really marry them. But I was trying to help people improve their quality of life through healthy movement. And in 2009, I went through a mentorship program called GIFT. And what they taught was what's called chain reaction biomechanics, or movement science. And so I've been studying that over the last 15 years. But the real gift of the mentorship was that they blessed me with a thought process. They taught me how to think for myself. So they said, hey, rather than us telling you what to do with clients, we're going to teach you how to think about what to do with the individual that's actually sitting in front of you. And so they were talking about, rather than giving protocols, I'm going to teach you a thought process, how to think for yourself. And so while it sounded exciting, it was quite overwhelming trying to learn a whole new way of being in the world. But with one of the key things that I learned in that was that the mind, body, and spirit are all interconnected. Now, I kind of knew that, but I really didn't know it to the degree that I now understand it today. So I went through this program, and then I had a corrective movement therapy practice that was going quite well for a while. I worked with some pro athletes and things like that nature. But what I was really being drawn toward was there were people that were suffering in ways behaviorally. Like they'd say, I want to change this thing. And they'd have the best of intentions, but then they'd end up falling back into the old pattern. And of course, me being involved in that conversation, it was very unrewarding. It's very unfulfilling. You know, you want to be a part of things that are successful and growing. And so I became more interested in the coaching side of things. And so it ended up that the principles that I learned that govern movement also govern behavior and transformation. And so I started applying those principles to the realm of coaching. And so I've now officially made a transition away from personal trainer into more now what I call myself as a mind, body, spirit coach, which is just a fancy way of saying, I really try to address somebody as a whole person. You know, you're not just somebody who's just overweight. You know, you're not this person who's just people pleasing. Like, you're an interconnected mind, body, spirit. You have a life, you have a story. Like, you became that way for some reason, and it's worth investigating to understand why. And that just felt like a lot more of a fulfilling engagement where I could really connect with people, really hear their story. You know, we have three rules in our community. It's that we want to create an environment where people feel safe, seen, and supported. And so that's the foundation of transformation, is you have to build it into the environment. And so what we do now in our course is we call it turnkey transformation. Now, it's very cliche, but what it means is the transformation's built in because I built the environment so that people transform. All they have to do is participate. And so, yeah, so that's where I am. I went from personal trainer to massage therapist to corrective movement therapist, and now I'm doing all things coaching.
Oh, yay. That's exciting. And I'm sure, like I said, so many women will relate to this. So I don't know, like, where do you want to start? What?
I'm going to start by plugging in before my computer dies.
That would be a good idea.
So I'll start with what clients have said has been one of the best models or ideas that I've shared with them. And that's, I came up with the definition for suffering, right? And so what I define suffering as, and suffering is what drives anybody to any kind of self-improvement program. Suffering is doing things that you don't want to do and not doing things that you do want to do. Okay, so I'll give a couple examples. If you're doing something that you don't want to do, you're procrastinating, you're people-pleasing, you're self-sabotaging, you're criticizing yourself, you're shaming and blaming, right? You're argumentative, all right? These are things that you're doing that you don't want to do. Then the other side of that point is that you're not doing things that you do want to do. Okay? You're not taking care of yourself. You're not exploring your passion projects. You're not making and keeping promises to yourself. And so that does sound like suffering, but there's just one other piece to it. The suffering really comes from the fact that people don't know why they're doing things that they don't want to do and not doing things that they do want to do. And what we intuitively know about that is that if we don't understand the mechanics of why it's happening, we actually have no control in the process. We have no agency. How do you improve something that you don't understand? Well, you can't. And this is why where the phrase, rounding the mountain comes from. And this is why George Santayana said, those who do not learn from history are doomed to repeat it. So it's just helping people to see a pattern. I didn't make this up. It's just always been there. I've just, through my own client engagements and seeing people suffering and not being able to be helpful to them, that has driven me to want to understand and study the mechanics of behavior that I've learned from movement. I'll just pause there. Does that make any sense?
I think so.
Yeah. So people are doing things that they don't want to do.
Yeah.
They're not doing things that they do want to do and they don't know why.
Yeah.
So step one, when I work with somebody, is just to help them understand why. Why are you doing this thing?
So why, what's the most common reason that you see, for example, women in our program or programs, they'll have the information, they'll know what they need to do, but for some reason they can't be consistent with doing it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. So you tell me, is it, I don't know how your podcast flows. Is it worth pulling up a little screen share? I can show you a model that I take everybody.
Yeah, for sure.
Okay.
Yeah, because we put this video on YouTube. So people, if they want to watch it, they'll be able to see. Yeah, awesome.
All right, so let me just pull this up. Okay. Sorry for the delay.
It's okay.
So part of the problem is when we pull our behaviors, when we focus on behavior, we're going to become self-critical of it because we're pulling the behavior outside of the context of our life story. Okay. So procrastination, nobody wants to procrastinate, but a lot of us do. But you can't say, I want to stop procrastinating, because procrastination, I say behavior is a way for us to tell a story about who we think we are and how we see ourselves. Okay, so procrastination is telling a story. We can't change it. We can only understand it. And once we understand it, then it changes. Okay, so the model that I use to help people start to see their lives as a story is called the experience wheel. And it's right here. Okay, so I created this because when I was working with people, I would get paralysis by analysis. They'd come to me and say,
you think so much.
Yeah.
I get that. Yeah, I agree.
So somebody comes in and at first they just want to lose 20 pounds, but then it turns up, there's this whole laundry list of things that they actually want to improve, half of which you don't really feel qualified to help them with, right? Mm-hmm. But so I would get paralysis by analysis. There are so many things that people want to change and I wanted to be helpful, but I really had no idea where to start. So one of the things that I learned in the gift mentorship program was you need a bucket, a way of taking information and categorizing it so that you don't become overwhelmed by it. And so that's part of developing a thought process. So I applied that understanding and I created the experience wheel. Okay, so here's what it is. at 1 o'clock, we have all of the symptoms or challenges that somebody faces. Okay, so we can anxiety, depression, they're stressed, they're overwhelmed, they're overweight, they have a poor running metabolism. I mean, the list just goes on and on and on. We all have a laundry list, right? Number two are the behaviors that someone's participating in that are causing those symptoms to manifest. Okay, so if someone's overweight, they're likely emotionally eating. They're complicit in their suffering. If somebody's anxious, they're probably people-pleasing or procrastinating. They're complicit in some way, and we need to be accountable to our reality because accountability is about empowerment. If you're not accountable, you're actually disempowered. Mm. Okay, now, what you'll notice here on the model is it says we're only focused right now on what is happening. Okay, just the fact that somebody's overweight or procrastinating. Now, when you focus on the what, you're going to be critical of yourself. Because you keep behaving in ways that you don't understand. Okay, and you're going to criticize yourself, and that makes sense. Okay. Now, traditional behavior change just says, hey, you don't want to experience all of these painful symptoms. You need to change your behavior. Mm. That's the traditional approach to change. It's very cause and effect, but it doesn't work that way. Okay, we need to go beneath the hood of the behavior to understand why the behavior exists. Now, we're making a significant shift from what's happening to why it's happening. Okay, and what's happened, and the beauty of this, the magic here, is that someone, as we shift the conversation, it shifts away from being critical of themselves to them becoming compassionate. Mm. Okay, and we need to be in a compassionate healing environment for healing to take place. So the question is, number three, we'll ask, what do these behaviors suggest you believe about yourself? Okay, so if someone's, we'll keep the overweight, someone's emotional eating. The behavior of emotional eating suggests that I'm not good enough, right? Or that I have no self-control. Okay, got it. Right. Now, we go up to number four. What are the experiences responsible for causing you to believe that about yourself?
Mm.
I had critical parents. I grew up in an unaffectionate household. I was bullied on the playground. I didn't have lots of friends. Okay, so everyone has their experiences. But what we need to understand that's happening here now is we just put their lives into a story. You had critical parents. Nothing you ever did was good enough for them. Now, of course, this is just an example. Nothing you did was good enough. That caused you to believe you're not good enough. One of the ways for you to tell the story about I'm not good enough is through emotional eating. And now emotional eating links to someone being overweight.
Mm.
So if you want to start losing weight, you need to understand what's driving the whole process.
Mm.
And so I'll just pause there. Does that make any sense?
It does. It does. Yeah. Because it's like the old wounds and something happens, it's triggering, it's triggering things for you. Like you say with the parent, whatever happened with the parents or an old,
right.
Something in the past. Yeah, it makes complete sense.
So now there's a connection between four and five.
Mm.
Okay, it took me, so I came up with the experience wheel, one through four, and then it took me two more years before I figured out number five.
Mm.
And what I realized was that, when I say believe, I don't mean we consciously believe this. We're acting out a proposition. And what I mean by that is we believe that what happened to us in life is who we are. Mm-hmm. Okay, so if I was rejected by my parents, not only was I rejected, but I'm a reject. Okay, mm-hmm. And so I become what's happened to me. And people are acting out, they're using their past to predict their future. But when you do that, you're only capable of reproducing the past over and over and over again. Mm. And so the magic of the work that I do is helping people to know who they are apart from what happened to them.
Mm, I love that.
So that's where this all gets started.
Yeah. So what, and I'm sorry, I'm not so familiar with your work, but what else? I'm not just sure what other questions to ask you. Maybe you can lead it a bit more and talk a bit more about what you do and how you do it. But that model makes sense.
Okay.
Perfect. Yeah.
So what that's designed to do is we need to get you out of the state of being your own biggest critic, worst enemy, and realize that you're actually not your biggest critic, worst enemy. You're acting out your past over and over and over again, but you don't realize it.
Mm.
So I don't know if you've ever heard the phrase, you could take the boy out of the country, but you can't take the country out of the boy, right? Okay, so we grow up in an environment, okay? Now, that environment is filled with parental figures or authority figures, and these people are behaving in certain ways, but that becomes our model for the world. And just because we leave that environment doesn't mean our behaviors change, because the foundation's already been established. So we keep reenacting our past over and over and over again. Now, let's go back to the procrastination idea for just a sec, right? The person who procrastinates, and we'll pick on the example of the critical parents, but there's so many examples that we could apply. If you had a critical parent, nothing you ever did was good enough. What they did was they started to condition you to procrastinate. Because for you as a child, all you wanted, well, we have three needs, control, validation, control, approval, security. You want your parents' approval more than anything else. You want their attention. You want their validation. You want them to uplift you and encourage you and tell you that you're awesome. Okay, now let's say you have critical parents. Okay, so what they're saying is, hey, anything you do is a disappointment to me. Now, they're not saying that, but they're acting that out. And then your takeaway is, well, I want my parents to love me, so I'm actually just going to condition myself to hold back, because I'd rather not do anything and be loved by my parents than do something and be a disappointment to them. So that's where the procrastination starts. It's all formative, okay? And so then you have this belief system now. Hold back, because if it's not perfect, you will get criticized. Right. And then all it's going to do is validate what your parents said about you, that you're not worthy of love and attention. So we continue procrastinating, and that's the people pleasing is tied in there. Okay. So now, but now this belief that nothing I do is good enough shows up as procrastination. And then we say the procrastination is causing the anxiety. No, it's not causing the anxiety. It's actually revealing the anxiety.
So what's like, if someone was, obviously there's that initial trigger, or like, you know, the behavior. So how do you stop, like, how do you stop it in it? Like, what's the process? If someone's thinking, I'm going to go and do this, or I feel like I'm not good enough, or, you know, how do you break that pattern?
That's a great question. So that actually takes us into the next step of our process. And so I have this question, and it's, who am I apart from? Who am I apart from being picked on the playgrounds? Who am I apart from what my parents thought? Who am I apart from feeling like the lesser of the two siblings? Right? Who am I apart from all that? And so the answer is, all you are is goodness. So the stance of my company, the Whole Person Project, is goodness is inherent in creation.
And
we are no thing but goodness. That's all we are. Now, can I pull up another?
Yeah, go for it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Great. Okay, so I'll pull up the first one that I found, and then I recreated a second version of it. So, okay. All right. This will connect. You may have actually seen this one. I think this is floating around on the internet for quite a while. Let's open both of these. Okay, there we go. All right, so the first one is here. You've been told that your worth increases the...
So if you're listening to this podcast, like the old me, you've probably cycled through a lot of diets trying to reach a number of the scales. Do you just feel like no matter how hard you try, you just can't seem to build muscle, lose that stubborn body fat, or manage your perimenopausal or menopausal symptoms? This is where the 7-day live challenge comes in. For just a one-off payment of $49, you'll work directly with Craig and me for 7 days to learn the exact strategies you need to see real lasting changes. And it's not just about the challenge. You'll actually get lifetime access to the course materials and bonuses, so you can revisit them whenever you need to and stay on track. So here's what you get when you join. Live coaching calls every day with Craig and I, where we break down your training, nutrition, and mindset, ensuring you know exactly what you need to do to reach your goals. These calls are recorded and saved to the course material, which you keep for life. We're going to set you customized starting macronutrient and calorie targets based on your goals. You'll learn how to train for your body, focusing on building muscle and managing fat loss, with workouts designed for busy women over 40. We've also got information on activity levels and also the right types of cardio you should be doing. We're going to teach you about meal planning. We're going to teach you how to find what works for your body, as well as how to improve your metabolism so that you can nourish your body without feeling deprived. You're also going to discover how to balance your hormones naturally, improve your energy, your sleep, your mood, and your digestion. Plus, you'll get access to an exclusive members-only community where you'll connect with other women who are on the same journey as you, women who've been through the ups and downs of fad diets and failed attempts. You get 30 days access to our new strength tracker app so you can track your progress, workouts, and nutrition. And you get access to hundreds of workouts that are fully customizable to the equipment you have available. They also come with full video tutorials. And if you do want to train at home, we have dumbbell-only programs. You get meal plans, food lists, and recipe books. This isn't just another fad diet or workout plan. This is a chance to learn from experts who've helped countless women just like you. And the best part is it's all for a one-off payment of just $49 AUD, and you get lifetime access to the course materials and the incredible bonuses. So no ongoing fees, just results. So now I'm going to take you through the incredible bonuses we're throwing in. You'll get access to our 30-day pro-metabolic diet challenge. You'll get access to our 90-day transformation program, which includes a body composition and macro calculator to work out your starting macros and body composition and makes adjustments as your body changes. You'll get a 90-day customizable workout program. You can choose exercises based on the equipment you have, plus suggested weight progressions and video tutorials for each exercise. You'll also get an accountability and progress tracker to keep you on track and ensure you see real results. You'll get our incredible Pro Metabolic Family Recipe Book with over 50 family-friendly, delicious, simple recipes. You'll get my Food Freedom course with my coach, Greta Zirkoff, which will help you overcome emotional eating and binge eating. You'll get my How to Get Rid of Cellulite guide, my 4-day glute-focused training program with video exercise library, and my incredible Progesterone Masterclass with Kitty Martone. Now, the total value of the course plus the bonuses is $3,237, and you get it all for a one-off payment of just $49. So if you're ready to break free from the cycle, lose body fat, build muscle, and just look and feel your best, this is your chance. I'll pop the link to join the challenge in the show notes, and let's get back to the podcast.
Or you achieve.
I love this.
And this is, Brené Brown talks about performance-based worthiness is exactly what she's talking about.
Yeah.
But when I say all you are is goodness, all you ever have been is goodness, because goodness has three qualities. Okay? Goodness is unconditional. Okay? Yes, you were criticized by your parents and you are still infinitely good. One has nothing to do with the other. Mm. Like when someone says, once I lose weight, then I'll be happy. Mm. That's not happiness. You know what that's called? That's conditional happiness.
Yeah. Yeah.
There's strings attached. So what you're doing is you're taking your goodness and you're displacing it into your weight. And now your goodness is outside of you. And as you know, they say happiness is an inside job.
Mm.
Well, not once you place it outside of you, then you're looking for that's why you take your diet and exercise overly seriously, is because you're now relying on that to validate you.
Mm. I can totally relate to this.
Yeah. So then this model was very helpful to many of my clients, but I just created this one, which is basically kind of a reverse of it. It's the same model, just flipped. Let me just blow it up. There we go. Okay. All right. And there we go. So what I realize is patternistically, people think that all of these painful experiences of rejection, and by the way, there's three archetypal wounds or emotional wounds that cross all cultures, okay? Shame, abandonment, betrayal.
Mm.
And what all of those wounds do is separate us from the notion of unconditional goodness. In a nutshell, that's what they're doing. Now, you think the more that you've suffered, that your worth just keeps dwindling.
Yeah.
But the reality is, all you are is goodness.
And I guess it's not the rejection, it's the meaning that you're applying to the rejection. Yeah.
That's exactly it. So our fancy term for that is, it's your attachment to and identification with the rejection.
Yeah.
That's the problem.
Yeah.
So it's not that you were picked on the playground, it's that you're defining yourself by that, but you don't realize you're defining yourself by that because it's subconscious.
Well, you might get rejected by someone, like, you know, like when women are dating, but instead of looking at it as like, I'm not worthy, you could look at it as, well, that was actually meant to happen because there's someone out there that's a better fit for me. You know, that was meant to happen. It's all happening for me. Yeah. It's just getting me closer, showing me what I don't want, getting me closer to what I do want.
That's an abundant perspective.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. And people need to hear things like that. So I have a little bit of a theory, is that the reason that we hold back and we don't put ourselves out there is if you have a limiting belief that says, I'm not good enough.
Yeah.
You behaviorally will hold back because our biggest fear is having other people believe what we already believe about ourselves.
Yeah.
So it's already bad that I don't feel good enough about myself, but the last thing I want is for you to not think the same thing about me. Because then that means what I think about myself is true because you believe it too.
Mm.
But that's why people live, well, you've probably heard the phrase, we lead quiet lives of desperation. You know, it's like the kid who raises their hand in school. They ask the stupid question. They get made fun of. They're picked on, right? And now they think, well, and one of the beliefs that you might form from that is I'm stupid.
Yeah.
And now when the person is going throughout their life and life is very confusing, you get scared to ask the question, say, I don't understand this. Instead, you just continue to suffer through your confusion because you're scared to raise your hand to get made fun of again.
Mm.
And by seeing that pattern, it actually changes how you feel about the behavior, and then the behavior starts to change.
Mm.
Okay. Yeah, it's all about, like, it's creating a chain reaction.
Yeah. And it's like, you know, it's, I think you just have to keep doing it. Like, it's reconditioning you, basically. Yeah. And I bet, you know, and like, I've been doing a lot of work, and I've talked about this on Instagram with like this coach. She's, I guess you'd call her emotional coaching. A lot of what you're talking about, she does similar stuff. Yeah. And it is really, it's changing your identity, you know, and addressing those core wounds. And, you know, you're not that person. You're not that person, you know? Yeah. It is fascinating. And like, once you sort of open Pandora's bloody box, you're like, some days I've been like, oh, fuck. It's good though. And getting into this now, I'm slowly like reading more books about spirituality and God. And, you know, there's this good one, you might know it actually, that she's recommended to me. And I've actually really enjoyed it. I'm just pulling it up on Audible. I was listening to it. I've been listening to it. It's called A Return to Love. Reflections on the Principles of A Course in Miracles by Marianne Williamson. Yeah, do you know it?
I know Marianne. I used to visit her. She used to teach at a church in New York City, and I've seen her several times. I've seen her several times. She's amazing.
Yeah. And that book, like, I've just loved it every day. Like, some days when I've sort of struggled, just going back to the book and being like, Kitty, love. Like, there's fear. It's coming back. You know, hello, fear. There you are. You know, come and sit down at the table. Like, there's the ego trying to make me have all these thoughts and just move back to love and not non-judgmental and just, you know, not. Yeah, it's a process, I feel. Like, yeah, and it takes time and practice.
You just used two of the words that we share all the time with our clients. There's two things to consider on a journey like this. There's practice and then there's process. Okay, so practice means you have to be involved.
Yeah.
And what we get our clients involved in is a practice of three things. And this is all done in like a short 5 to 10 minute meditation. One, we have to learn how to recognize goodness. Right. Number two, we have to learn how to receive goodness as our identity. I am no thing but goodness. You can only wake up to that. And then three is, my life is, the purpose of my life is to act out and express goodness. That's all it is.
Yeah.
I'm receiving goodness, I'm expressing goodness. Okay, so that's the practice. The process means that even if you did it perfectly, it's still going to take time. Mm-hmm. And that's the principle of adaptability. Saying we adapt to change slowly. It's evolutionarily. Mm-hmm. Okay? It's a process. But once you know that infinite goodness is the essence of who and what you are, you actually become less concerned with reaching the goal because the fulfillment is coming from within.
That's what she said to me. She's like, Kitty, this isn't a fucking degree that you're getting. There is no end to this. It's just this ongoing thing that you do or how you be. And I think one thing that I've had to really work on too is like this not being like, she's like, nothing is wrong. Everything that you're doing, you are making progress. Like it's all happening for a reason. So you might, you know, not do things perfectly and then you criticize yourself. She's like, that's part of the process. You know, love that part of yourself. It's all, and that's been something, because I mean, I wouldn't say I'm a perfectionist, but like I just am very disciplined and, you know, I'm hard on myself when I'm not doing it. But I think that's something that I've really had to work on. And then, you know, like if I've done something or said something like, oh, that wasn't quite right, or I didn't say that well, or I didn't do that well, and then reflecting and going, it's okay. I still love you. Like you're doing good. You just keep going back to that book. Like listening to the book, like she's so good, just talking about love, you know, and just, it's just, but it takes like every day, you just have to do it every day. And you have these ups and downs, you know, like it's the feeling, it's the emotions. And, you know, like I'm sure you would like probably talk about this, but she talks a lot about your vibration.
Yeah.
Like there's this, all these emotions and you can vibrate. She calls it down in the basement and then you can vibrate at the penthouse, you know, and you will attract what you vibrate, you know. So it's this constant,
respond to that as if you were my client?
Of course.
Okay, so the first thing I would make you say is, all I am is goodness.
I love that. All I am is, and love. I think about love. I just love love, you know. I'm goodness and I'm love. That feels good.
Well, you are.
Yeah.
It feels amazing.
Yeah.
It feels amazing because it's true.
Yeah.
You've probably heard the phrase, the truth will set you free.
Yeah.
The truth is, all we are is infinite goodness.
Yeah.
And when you think about that, who doesn't love that idea?
True.
It's true. True. And that's what's exciting about it, is that it's true.
Yeah. Yeah. It is. Goodness and love. Goodness. Okay. So we'll come back to is the love. Yeah.
So now, you're performance-based. Fantastic. Join the human race. Like, who's not performance-based, right? But what you need to realize is your happiness in those instances doesn't belong to you. It belongs whatever you put your happiness into. So if you put your happiness into performance, you will always look for your performance for validation.
Mm.
Now, you're not doing that consciously. It's subconscious.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. It's always been like that.
It's always been like that. So I have a little kind of a geeky model called, it's a, which axis are you on? Okay. And then there's the Y axis, which is vertical. And then there's the X axis, which is horizontal. Okay. The ego manages the Y axis. I'm either doing good or I'm bad. I'm winning, I'm losing. I'm failing, I'm succeeding. It's black or white, right? I'm all or none. You know, I did great this month. I did poor this month, right? There's no, you can't win this game. Because everything that you are is based on something that's constantly fluctuating. And that's the foundation of an emotionally unstable reality. It's because you are pitting your goodness. You're attaching your goodness to something that's always going to do this. Always.
Yeah.
Okay. So but the X-axis is not managed by the ego, but by the soul, you could say. Okay? I have nothing to prove and nothing to lose. It doesn't matter if I have a great quarter or a shitty quarter. All I am is goodness.
Yeah. Yeah, I love that. Yeah, it's a good mantra.
It is. It is. So I'm going to pull up one more. Well, I have a couple more graphics that I just pulled up preemptively. And let's see. Okay, so this, there are qualities of goodness. And what's beautiful about this is that this makes sure that everyone is included in the measure of goodness. Okay, goodness is three things. It's unconditional. Okay? So it's back to those little bubbles. Right? Doesn't matter how much you perform or how much you were rejected. If we define ourselves by our performance or how often we were rejected, that's making our goodness conditional.
Mm.
So, and when you do that, you should suffer because you're living out of alignment with the principle of infinite goodness.
Mm.
Okay. When have you ever heard anybody say, oh my gosh, I'm doing really good. I'm just waiting for the other shoe to drop. You've heard that. So when someone's waiting for the other shoe to drop, what they're doing is just placing limitations on goodness.
Mm.
That's all these good things are happening. Now something bad's going to happen. No, that's a scarce mentality. So you're violating the principle that goodness is unlimited.
Mm.
And then the last is, goodness is unearned. It's just a gift. You can only receive it.
Mm.
And so this is not about earning. You can't earn goodness. You just are good. You can only wake up to it. So we use this list for our clients to just keep coming. This is the reference point. Okay, so here's the takeaway. Culture has taught us to place conditions and limits on our goodness and convinced us that we have to earn it back. And so that's the game that you can never win. Placing conditions and limits on our goodness, believing that we have to earn it back. You'll never win that game. Never. Because you'll never have an authentic experience of goodness.
Mm. Makes so much sense. Yeah. Love it. So
the last stage is so we send all of our members this nifty little coin.
Oh, cool.
And so on the front of it says, what's half of infinity? Do you know what the answer is to that?
Infinity?
I bet you do. It's infinity. Okay. So even when you wake up, even when you're doing half of everything that you think you should be doing, you're still infinite in nature. All I am is goodness. That's all I am. Okay. So, and then on the back, it's the hero's journey. And so we're trying to the little phrase on it is willingly confront your potential.
Mm.
And we're trying to teach people how to transform the chaos in their life into order.
Mm.
And the foundation for doing that is infinite goodness. All I am is goodness.
Mm.
That stabilizes the foundation, because when you stop placing goodness and happiness outside of you, then you have infinite access to your worth and freedom. And then you can live a life that you could hardly even fathom. Mm. And so I have a little Mike-ism. Not only are you more powerful, capable, and significant than you can imagine, you're more powerful, capable, and significant than you can even imagine. We'll never understand what it means to be infinitely good. All we can do is try. Okay, so the last step of all of this then is we teach people how to willingly confront their potential. Okay, and when you're infinitely good, there's really no fear left anymore, which is really cool.
Mm.
And we help them to develop life skills. So life skills are the things that we should have been taught in school but weren't. And those are things such as, you know, how to make and keep a promise to yourself.
Mm.
How to fall and get back up. Mm. How to constructively process an emotion. Things like that. Very tangible skills that we need on a day-to-day basis that help us go the distance.
Mm.
And then the goal at the end of the day is, you know, it's there's a wonderful quote by Richard Rohr that says, transformed people transform people. Okay, so I've been transformed by my own journey. And all I'm doing now is I'm just sharing it.
Yeah.
I don't need to hold on to you because I'm free.
I love it.
So that's us in a nutshell.
So good. Well, this has been really amazing. I'm sure people will really resonate with this, and I love it. And it's very in line with what I've been doing myself for, you know, the last 6 months. And so I'll obviously, like, where can people find you?
Yeah, so our website's thewholepersonproject.com. And March 1st launches our group coaching experience.
Mm-hmm.
It's content, it's coaching, it's community. So the content is everything I've been doing with people as a coach privately. I've created a whole framework where people come through my private coaching process in a group setting.
Mm.
So that's the content. It holds their hand through the process of transformation. Every step of the way, everything I just said, all built in.
Mm.
The second thing, we have daily group coaches. Okay, so somebody's on every day offering a group coaching call to support you through your journey. And the cool thing is all of our coaches have been my personal clients, have experienced foundational transformation of their life circumstance, and they have a desire to help other people do the same.
So that's good.
Qualification. It's great. And then the last step is the community. We have many mechanisms built in. So I would say it all really comes back to like how we measure success, right? Mm. So Peter Drucker says, what gets measured gets managed. Okay. Mm. So if you're measuring success according to how much weight you lose, you're going to measure calories.
Mm.
Sense. Or I know your perspective is a bit more evolved. And so you're probably measuring foods that are anti-inflammatory, pro-metabolic, things of that nature. Okay? So most people, their daily measure of success is how much they get done on their to-do list.
Mm.
That's not a good measure of success because, again, your worth will always ride that wave. So the measure of our success is not how big our community ever gets, but how connected we are. And so the whole thing has been organized around connection. And so, you know, community actually means, I've studied the root word, it means we're all in this together. That's what it literally means. And so that's the spirit in which we engage with people. And this is the environment that we've created that's just helping people really in phenomenal ways.
Love it. Love it. Awesome. Well, thank you so much for coming on. And as always, guys, take a screenshot of the episode and share your biggest takeaways on Instagram stories and tag me at KITTYBLOMFIELD. And each month I pick a winner and they get a tub of Saturé premium collagen valued at $79. And I will drop all of Michael's details in the show notes so you can find him. And that was amazing. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Kitty. I appreciate it.
Thanks so much for listening. If you're enjoying the show, please feel free to rate, subscribe, or leave a review wherever you listen to your podcast. That helps others find the show, and we greatly appreciate it. You can also keep up with your host and find her content on Instagram at KITTYBLOMFIELD. Once again, thanks for tuning in to the Weight Loss for Women podcast, and we hope you'll join us again on the next episode. Until then.